This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Former Cincinnati Mayor Dwight Tillery, currently president of the Center for Closing the Health Gap, is organizing the Black Agenda Cincinnati Summit to look at and develop solutions for challenges facing the African-American community. The day-long summit will be held June 11th at Woodward High School. And joining us to discuss the Black Agenda Cincinnati Summit are Word of Deliverance Ministries for the World, senior pastor and president of the Greater Cincinnati Chapter of the National Action Network, Bishop Bobby Helton, and the Center for Closing the Health Gap founder and president, Dwight Tillery. And Bobby and Dwight, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Dwight, why did you feel a need to put this summit together? What got you going on this?
Well, I think what really brought everything together for me is the past 12 years I've worked in trying to improve the health, particularly with African-Americans, Latinos, and some white Appalachian communities. And what I saw, that there was these social indicators, how they impacted the health of people, that's whether they're employed or unemployed, or whether they're high school graduate or dropped out, the housing, the lack of access to healthy foods. All of these social determinants made me really understand what a deplorable situation particularly African-Americans find themselves in the city of Cincinnati. This is a city that has good wealth. It has some of the major corporations, and I'm talking about sort of the greater Cincinnati area. And so when you look at the high unemployment rate among African-Americans, which has been very persistent, I remember when I was on city council in 1994, I organized hearings on poverty and unemployment. And that was in 1994. Think about how long ago.
There's still issues today.
Oh, yeah. They're greater today. But I couldn't get the powers to be, if you will, to pay attention. And so what we're seeing now, and I think this is shared by the leadership in the African-American community and the community at large, is that we're at a crisis situation and things have to change. You know, people can only suffer so long at the bottom of all these different indicators. And so the idea is to come together and to develop. First of all, we want people to participate in workshops. And we have a variety of workshops, anywhere from arts and culture all the way to education and economic development. And so in that process, we want to talk about what we see are the barriers and issues, and then what are the solutions. And ultimately, then we want to research and figure out what do we do, because we want to create a strategic plan for the next 5 years. What are the issues we're going to tackle? How do we tackle them? How do we improve? So we're really taking the bull by its horn in our own community to come together so we can all be on the same page and how we can begin to take advantage of the system. You know, we watch a lot of different groups, and, you know, even though we came through the civil rights movement where Martin Luther King and many others led on these issues. And interesting enough, there are a lot of the same issues. You know, he had the Poor People's March. And, you know, we know that there's this huge problem of economic inequality. So all of these things impact people. You know, I'm really sort of fascinated at Donald Trump and the people who are following him, which are middle to upper lower class, who feel that they are not getting their benefit out of America, that they have been marginalized. And so I say to myself, well, if white males are feeling that way, Jesus, we really ought to be feeling that way. You know, I agree with Bernie. We need a political revolution in the city of Cincinnati. But I think that how we go about that is very important. And of course, we want it to be in a way that really will have a sustainable impact long term. For too long, we have, I think, ducked the big issue, the 800-pound elephant in the room, and that is institutional racism as it persists in the city and throughout the nation. So I want to applaud all of the national leaders that are drawing attention to this as well.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying, Dwight, is that the African-American community needs to lead the way.
Yes.
And solving these issues instead of waiting for someone else to do it. Am I picking up on that correctly?
Absolutely. And I think there is a role for the greater society, because we all have to be responsible to each other, no matter what color we are. But I think it's important for African-Americans to do that. What I see now is that, with all due respect, there are many white people who want to speak about the needs of African Americans, and they have the solution, rather than us being at the table and talk about the solution and us having the resources to be able to talk about those situations. If you look at the social service programs, most of those social service programs are dominated by whites who, you know, whether it's housing or whether it's a food program or even now infant mortality, they are saying, we know what's best for you. And so that is very disheartening and very troubling for—
They mean well, though. I mean, it's—
Absolutely. No question about it. But what they have to understand, even, you know, with good intentions, we're not going to ever change things, because if you look at social service programs, there are billions of dollars that are spent on this. The studies show that the only people who really benefit from these programs are the people who administer those programs, which most of them do not look like African Americans.
Bobby, I want to get your take on this, the importance of this conference, and the idea that the African American community needs to take a stand and take a lead in solving these issues.
This conference is very important, and I congratulate and applaud Dwight Tillery for hosting this, because although I'm president of the Greater Cincinnati National Action Network, on Saturday, that's not what I'm coming in as. Being president of NAM would be on the shelf. I'm coming in as one of many, and many organizations, we're coming together as one of many to say it's time for us to see some outcomes. It's time for us to see some change. And I believe, because we come together as one, putting aside our personal agendas and look at what will be good for the whole, that's when we'll get things moving. So I am really excited about this. This has never, ever been done, where we have all kinds of organizations, including NAACP and many others. We're all coming together as one to put together our list of objectives, what we see needs to be changed, and how we can measure outcomes and see real change.
Now, Dwight, I think one of the things that disturbs you is I think you've described it as a vacuum in black leadership, or a lack of black leadership. What's causing this? What's contributed to this?
Well, I think it really goes back, I think, to, if you look at the 70s and when the country went from an industrial nation to a service nation or economy, African Americans took the greatest hit on that. And I think in many ways, the lack of being able to find employment really demoralized particularly African American men and women. And so ultimately that caused a destruction of the black family. And so because of all of these social issues, particularly unemployment, has really caused a vacuum. And those few black organizations, and I say black because of the leadership and the focus, are very few. But they're also beholden to the money that's being controlled by the power structure in this community. And so we have to begin to get people involved at the community level, whether it's community council meetings and so forth. We have to help them to understand the power of the vote. I'm watching this whole national political effort, and I'm watching how Hillary Clinton is courting the African-American vote. But my question is, what is her commitment to the African-American community? Too often, we have always voted for a particular party without ever seeing the benefits of our vote. I'm saying that can't happen anymore, either here locally, statewide, or nationally. We have to be accountable, and we have to hold those institutions are accountable. I'm 68 years old, and I never thought I would still be at it. But I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, I'm looking at my home. I grew up not far from down here, the West End, when my family had to move because of I-75. We moved to Evanston, and then we were displaced by I-75. We go to Evanston, and I-71 displaces again. Who's making those decisions, you see? And as I look around, what are the institutions that reflect the culture of African Americans? Where's the history? Who's documenting the history of African Americans? And I'm saying it really isn't us, and we need to start doing that for ourselves.
Bobby?
And I totally agree. We can't have it where we've had all of these programs operating all of these years, but there's no measurable outcomes. We still see people in various serious economic situations. We still see the lack of job. We still see that our people are paid less if they get the job. And I've talked to people that have degrees, that have master degrees, and still they're not paid on an equitable basis with others. They have a difficult time finding a job. And I'm talking about right here in Greater Cincinnati. We need to come with these things. We need to look at these things because oftentimes, as I've talked to people, they say, well, the problem in the black community is there's just too many people on drugs and too many people going to prison. We have to know that the majority of the black people are not on drugs. The majority of the black people are not going to prison. We need to understand that and operate in that means. Now, we want to help those individuals, but we need to look at the fact that that does not need to be our story. That does not need to be attached to the black community as drug addicts and shootings and going to prison. That is not the majority of the community. The majority of the community are getting educated. They're doing well, but there's still this great unemployment rate. Something is wrong with that. There's still this inability to find good jobs. Something's wrong with that. There's still this very low net worth. Something is wrong with that. So we have to come together, strategically put a plan together and say, look, step one, step two, step three. There are funds available. Who's getting those funds? How are they assisting people to rise up the ladder, to go up the ladder? And can we see systemic change? We have to see change. We have to see our people doing better. And that's, we've not been able to see that. So come together, lay out a program, lay out a map, have some very measurable ways that we can see a change and look for it. We cannot be here this year and then 5 years later look back and there's been no change. We cannot keep doing that.
And Dwight, I think that's one of the goals is to come up with a five-year strategy plan out of
Correct.
This. Is that right?
Absolutely, because we need to understand that we need to develop those issues and the goals that we want to focus on. And we want to be able to accomplish those goals. And I think 5 years will give us some sense of whether or not we're making any progress on those goals. And one of the real simple ways, every 4 years now we have an election. You know, what is coming out of City Hall? And where is the money going? You know, there are a lot of people who are very upset about the focus just on downtown while their neighborhoods are just really have fallen apart for so long. And so how do you know whether or not you're getting your fair share, your benefit for your community? And that's no different than anybody living in a white community. The problem for us is that we have not created those organizations and leadership to hold those leaders accountable. And I think that if you look at the problem of institutional racism, while things on the surface might look fair, you have to see what are really the outcomes. And I'm saying that we're at a place where if you look at housing, if you look at people who are incarcerated, if you look at unemployment, if you look at all those things, African-Americans are on the bottom. So either I conclude that maybe we are inferior, or perhaps the system is stacked against us. I believe the system is stacked against us. And so how do we begin in an orderly way of changing the system? And so we can't just let politicians come into our community and do some selfies and that kind of thing and high five and then walk away. I mean, that's not going to work anymore.
So when you're talking about political revolution, you're talking about an orderly type of political revolution.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. And I think that's what Bernie Sanders is talking about as well. So I think that's really, really important because that's not just that's for all politicians, not just for white politicians. That's for black politicians, too. I want to be very, very clear about that. And so because it's easy for black politicians to escape and to sort of go along if nobody's holding their feet to the fire as well. So this is very, very important because when you look at government, and I've been reading some information that talks about government will have to get involved in creating jobs in this nation. They really have to. The question becomes, if that happens, who will get those jobs? And so there has to be that kind of commitment that we need to see. Now, one of the things that I found really interesting, just to talk about institutional racism for a minute, and I think that's really important, because I don't think that people wake up every morning and say, how can I discriminate against a black or Latino or so forth? But I think because the majority population reflects its culture and its experience and so forth, they don't necessarily, it's what we call implicit bias. We don't necessarily think that that's done intentionally, but they don't understand how this really benefits them and also how it becomes a detriment for African Americans. So it becomes important that we look at public policies and practices and see what is being done at all institutions. But government is critical because that is the one institution that we all should have equal access to. And the question is, are we having that? We know with a population of 45% to 50% African-American Americans, that's a powerful voting block. I mean, if Hillary, she was in every black church and, every Trayvon Martin and on and on and on taking photos, that's all well and good. But the bottom line is, if she gets elected president, what will that mean? And so, Donald Trump is another story. But and I think he's kind of been pretty clear about where he stands on in terms of minority population, which I must say is very disappointing. But that's the tradition. That's the American tradition. We vote for people who we believe support our interests. And I am of the belief that Cincinnati has enough resources that you shouldn't have any one population bearing the burden of high unemployment, crime, no housing or poor housing, people dropping out of school, et cetera, et cetera. There, we got to quit looking at the symptoms and deal with the causes. And that's really, really important. I will drop.
And it sounds like you're saying you see access to opportunity and jobs as being the answer.
Absolutely. Very, very important. And the leadership on that. We need to take leadership with the majority population on how we address these issues and not them sort of saying, well, we got the program for you and we got this for you and we'll help you this way. That doesn't make that. First of all, it has never solved the problem. And secondly, what does that do to one's character? It demoralizes African-Americans because it makes them feel powerless, that they have nothing to contribute. And that's not good. That's not good for any group of people.
How many people do you have coming to the conference? So
well,
far?
We have 1500 registered people attending. So
how many are young people? Do you know, Dwight?
I think we probably have somewhere between 300 or 400 young people. And that's important. We need to hear from young people.
So it's very important that the youth are there. I've been congratulating a lot of young men that are graduating with their bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and going on forward. And I'm encouraging them to be at this conference. It's time to show them off. It's time to see that young ladies and young men are doing well. They're getting educated. Come into conference and be a part of the conversation. That's another thing I like about the conference on Saturday. Everybody gets to be a part of the conversation. It's not a matter of just coming in and being talked to or being instructed, but everyone gets to be a part of the conversation and come up with solutions together.
Do you feel like young people are catching on to this? Do you see signs that they're getting
this? Yes, very much. And some of these teenagers, and I'm glad you brought that about young people, because Newsweek had a study they did 50 years ago in 1966 when I graduated from high school. They surveyed students, teenagers throughout America, and they asked the question, is race a problem going forward? 44% of the white students said yes. Now, here's interesting. 32% of the black students said yes. 32%. They just released the study 50 years later. They've done recently another survey. Now, 88% of the white kids are saying that it's an issue going forward. And 96% of black kids now are saying it's a problem going forward. That's a message for us as adults. We can no longer continue to duck and dodge this issue about race. It continues to plague America in so many different ways, and it dashes the promises that people have. There's a reason why you see the problems that you do in certain communities when you have no opportunity, no ability to access. I'm a beneficiary of the civil rights movement, and I wear that proudly. But if I were a young black kid coming out of West End today, I don't think I'd be where I am today.
Tell me real quick about the keynote speaker for the event.
Well, Dr. Eric Dyson is an ordained minister, and he's a sociologist, and he's written extensively on a variety of culture and political issues. And he has a very powerful message, and he holds black leaders as well as society as a whole accountable for where we are in this nation. And so we think he's the right person to deliver this message that will inspire and challenge and encourage, you know, because courage is really important. We're all now recognizing what Muhammad Ali meant to this nation. And, you know, I was a teenager. He was 6 years older than me, and I saw him. And just looking at the clips, I mean, boy, what courage he had to face. And it helped to move our nation forward.
Dwight and Bobby, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Word of Deliverance Ministries for the World senior pastor and president of the Greater Cincinnati chapter of the National Action Network, Bishop Bobby Hilton, and Center for Closing the Health Gap founder and president Dwight Tillery. The Black Agenda Cincinnati Summit takes place from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. June 11th at Woodward High School, and you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.